This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, one to go. No, actually two to go. 2 hours left of The Usual Suspects on an Friday in the big city. Hopefully you're getting ready for a big weekend. Lots to talk about. Two big college football matchups, as we will talk UT and LSU and Clemson and A&M and all of that. We already kicked around a little bit the game what was last night. I may be a little bit more giddy than most on the results, but the bottom line is game one, week one, out of the way. The football might not have been pretty, but the results were very pleasurable to at least yours truly.
I mean, like you guys were saying earlier, you know, as long as you're a Packers fan, you could enjoy the game. You enjoyed every minute of it, right?
No doubt. And I taught Taylor some things about football because Lisa was nowhere to be found. Taylor decided to wander into the man cave. And Nick, you know the man cave is awesome, but it's off limits.
Absolutely.
But she walked in and she said, "Daddy, may I sit with you?" Of course you may. But in the process, you're going to learn some things. So one point where she was drinking a bottle and hanging out with me, I may or may not have yelled tackle very loudly. And she said, "Daddy, what's a tackle?" And I explained to her how that's where you take someone else to the ground. And then she said, what does that mean? And so we started kind of walking our way through it. And she's like, "I like tackling." I'm like, "Okay, don't like it too much, but I like that."
Hey.
And then we went from that to, I was like, "Who is that?" She goes, "Go Packers," which she always does. And she goes, "Who are they?" And I go, "They're the Bears. We don't like the Bears." And she goes, "Ooh, don't like the Bears." And so this morning, Lisa was getting ready to take her to a doctor's appointment. I'm like, "Taylor, who won last night?" She says, "Go Packers." I said, "Who'd they play?" She goes, "The Bears. We don't like them."
Nice.
And I was like, and Lisa goes, "What the?" And I go, "She's smart. Leave her alone. She knows she's doing. We're training her right now."
That's right.
So training day. I didn't mention the whole tackle thing, because if Lisa finds out she can also tackle, the first day we get that notice at school that she took someone down, it's not going to be pretty for me. But I was proud. I was a proud father.
That's good, man.
Yeah.
Somebody texted, said, "Number one show in Houston, Usual Suspects with Barry Laminack, Nick, and Joel Adler Blank."
I got to shake the cup.
And they took a shot at Nick, but I'm not going to partake in that.
You should read it.
Why
do you always say that? You just don't read the text. Just read the text.
No, I'm not going to do that to you, buddy. It's a Friday. I love you. I'm not going to do that. Titan Hugo's checking in, by the way.
You love him.
Yeah.
Well, you're turning over a new leaf.
Hey.
Okay.
I mean, just for this segment.
All right.
Titan Hugo, he said, "One high-powered pick by Vegas goes down week one," talking about the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
"Then another will also fall, those fraud-ass Browns. Titans are going to put a roadblock into that hype."
We got some loyals of some teams that I think there's a lot of hype with them, too. We've got Titan Hugo. We got Steelers fan Juan.
I'm sorry, Titan Hugo, but I'm not believing in your Titans this year.
I'm not either.
I think that they got a really good defense. I think as long as Marcus Mariota is the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans.
Is he,
Nashville Titans.
I was going to say, that's the thing. We don't know who their quarterback's going to be at the end of the season. We know who's starting.
But I'm saying as long as that's your quarterback, not feeling good for you, buddy.
No.
Sorry.
Absolutely with you. I mean, Ryan Tannehill could be your quarterback by midseason.
Even then, would you feel better for him?
No, not at all.
Then. Sorry, Hugo. You're going to have to get a better quarterback regime in Tennessee if you want me to feel hyped up for that squad.
See, when Andrew Luck was in the division, they were definitely, in my opinion, the fourth best team in the division.
Fourth, yeah.
Andrew Luck's not in the division. I still believe they're the fourth best team in the division. I just don't think it changes that much for them as it does for Jacksonville and Houston. And then it's Indy's on a prove it deal.
Yeah, well, definitely. And again, I'm not happy with their quarterback situation. It's weird now. The Texans might have the best quarterback in the division. And a few years ago, when Mariota first came in the league, and everyone was like, "Well, maybe he is a player." And then you've got Andrew Luck, and Blake Bortles was young, and you're like, "Oh, damn, the Texans are the worst at that position in this division by far," because of the likes of Brock Osweiler and everybody else. And now you look at it and you go, "Wow, the Texans are elite compared to the rest of these teams." Yeah. I'm not suggesting Deshaun Watson is elite, but when you compare them to everybody else. Now, I'll entertain arguments about Foles, but I still think Deshaun Watson brings way more to the table.
Deshaun at least has the potential to become elite, whereas Nick Foles is who he is. He's a better than average, very stable quarterback, capable of taking you a long way. But I don't think that he has the dynamics that Deshaun brings to the table with his ability to run and extend plays and his arm strength to do the things where Deshaun still is on the path to where he can become elite.
I do have Tennessee. If I was betting, I think I'm going to take the points with Tennessee, but I still think Cleveland wins the game.
What's the spread?
Last time I looked, it was 5.5.
You're going to take Tennessee in the points?
Yeah.
I think the Browns win by a touchdown.
Do you?
Yeah, because I'm just not impressed with anything offensively.
I mean, the if the spread is 5.5, the Sagarin rating is 2.96. That's barely over the 2.5, 2.7 that they...
In Cleveland?
Yeah, it's in Cleveland.
Okay. All right, well, we'll see.
That, I'm telling you, dude, that Titans defense... Well, you're talking about a Browns offense that didn't, again, not a lot of reps going. This is game one. Mm-hmm. If this game was played in the middle of the season, it might be different. But going into game one, defenses are always going to fare a lot better than offenses. And we've seen it time and time again. And we know how few of these offenses have had a lot of reps in this preseason.
OBJ's got a hip injury, too. So he's going to play, but he might not be 100%. Not a good start for the start of the regular season.
Nope.
But I will say on the flip side, don't second guess the abilities on the Browns defense either. Brown's got a lot of talent all across the defense and the offense. And for that reason alone, too, I think that they have a huge advantage because Tennessee's defense may end up being on the field a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then when their offense keeps going three and out, they're going to have to be on the field more.
Well, I mean, we'll see what Henry is. They have a good offensive line. I mean, we'll see what they can get out of the running game. I think that if this team was smart, they would lean on that running game heavily as opposed to relying on Mariota or whoever else. I'm trying to check the spread for you again. Is it on ESPN? It's still 5.5.
The thing to Browns me, weather's going to be a factor too, because now that game last night was in ideal conditions and we saw what we saw. But some of these games this weekend, when you're starting to get into some destinations in the United States where it's a little hot still.
Yeah.
That's just going to slow people down more.
Well, funny you should mention that. Pardon the plug here, since I am a company man.
Yes.
But our guy Steven Uzik has put together a weather map. Remember, I was giving him a hard time at Knicks, where I was like, I want an actual map.
Did he use a Sharpie?
No, but he did put together a weather map. It's on sportsmap.com if you go there, and it shows you all the places there where they're playing. So, like, for the game in Cleveland with Tennessee, it says temperatures in the upper 60s, winds out of the north, mostly cloudy, no rain, no significant impacts from a fantasy perspective or otherwise. So, it's going to be clear skies. Weather should be fine. But again, it's week one, game one. Lean defenses, everybody this week.
I think you're right about that. Yeah. I think the other tip that we've got for you is coming up in the 2:30 segment as well. Our travel guy, our expert travel guy, another Steve. Steve Frederhouse is going to join us. He's going to give you some tips because there's a big game going on Monday night in the New Orleans. And there's a lot of you Texans fans that like to travel. Everybody knows, it's New Orleans. They got the casinos and Bourbon Street. We're going to give you a few other tips so that you're ready for that trip if that's where you're headed to see the first week of the Texans schedule, as we have to wait till Monday night. So with that being said, we're also going to have Sarah Barshop on at 3:30. She's going to preview the game itself. She's going to give you some inside information on the Texans, probably get an update on Tunsil and some of the new guys and how they're fitting in and what the game plan is going to be as they take on the powerful New Orleans Saints.
And we haven't talked to her since the Clowney trade.
That's right, because we missed her last week.
Yeah, so we need to get our thoughts on that and what's going on inside the walls down there on Kirby and how that organization is looking from an insider's perspective. So I'll be interested to see what she has to say about that.
I'm sure the perspective on Bill O'Brien's changed immensely. No? Maybe not.
You think?
At least as a gentleman and a never mind. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, because the guy's throwing himself out there right in the middle of it. I don't know if you know this or not. But I've seen on several different websites and on TV, people are actually kicking around the idea of when Bill O'Brien gets fired this year.
Ooh.
You think that's possible?
What's the over-under?
Right now, the over-under was between weeks 7 and 9.
Well, I have him going 6 and 10. Let me pull up my little schedule thing that I did, and I think I could tell you when, based on...
Now, wait a minute.
Huh?
You and I have also said, though, because of the fact he got the extension, because he has a longer-term deal now, do you really see Cal pulling the plug when he owes him so much?
If they get off to a really bad start with the moves that they've made, I could, sure.
Well, they potentially could get off to a really bad start.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have them going what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1-6 to start the season. Dude, New Orleans loss. I have them beating Jacksonville, losing to the Chargers, losing to Carolina, losing to Atlanta, losing to the Chiefs. I might change this Indy pick, but it's still on the road in Indy. That one's a 50-50 pick right there. I have them beating Oakland and losing to Jacksonville. That's before the bye week. The bye week comes in week 10. So I have them 2-7 after 9 weeks.
Thus, week 9 of the Bill O'Brien watch, because with a bye week after that 2-7 start,
you have a coach.
You have a chance to reshuffle the deck.
And guess what? They do have a guy on staff who has NFL head coaching experience in Romeo Crennel.
Mm-hmm.
So
not that he was great at it, but
no, but he's got experience.
And here's the other thing. There's going to be some games that are going to be key games. You mentioned one of them because I have the exact same schedule as you have. And we're going to have a video coming out where we predict the whole schedule on Sports Map. But when I looked at everything, there's also some key swings. For as bad as a start they could get off to, I could see them finishing 4-0. They've got the schedule's advantageous at that point. But I think the big swing, too, if it gets to that point.
I have them 4-3 after the bye week.
Okay. That Carolina-Atlanta back-to-back home games are huge. If they lose them both, it could be disastrous. If they win them both, they could be in a position to at least be in the mix in the division.
Well, I think if they, I mean, heck, even if they go on the road and beat Indy, mm-hmm. then that's still only 3 wins in the first 9 games. I mean, the only other loss that I have that might be, you could talk about the division, mm-hmm. and there's maybe a way you could convince me that they sweep Jacksonville because there's not a game in Jacksonville.
Right,
it's at home and it's in London.
But it's in London, and with that extensive travel, they've never done it before. Jacksonville does it every year, and they actually take advantage of it. They play well in London.
That's okay. I mean, that's fine, but there's no home field advantage there. So now you're talking about straight up talent versus talent because they both have to travel.
Boy. Speaking of travel, when that comes up, we mm-hmm. got a guy that can give you tips on London, too.
That's right.
All right, so we're going to continue to roll on. We're hour number 2, 3-hour show. Going to have a lot of fun today on an FEF Friday. Got another clip coming up from our comedian of the week, Ed Blake, and some special guests along the way as well. So stay right where you got it. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All my friends are stupid. I can't even go out with my friends. Go out to a restaurant. How many of y'all got friends that like treat the waitstaff like crap? Yeah, they're like, hey, could you do that, that, that? And I'm just sitting there, I can hear them in the back going, you know they're going to be alone with your food back there, you jackass. Hello? Can I get mine without spit? I'm not a dick like he.
There's our comedian of the week. Ed Blake, funny guy. Barry gave some of the backstory. Still got another clip coming up at 3:15 as well. If you missed any of it, ESPN975.com. Show tab, top of the page for The Usual Suspects. Catch up on what you missed. So, good stuff there.
Yes. Shout out to everybody that said they tune in for the dumbass jokes. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, Nick and I appreciate
you,
too.
I can provide plenty. Have no fear.
Mine are just dad jokes.
That's kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So yeah. Just don't lump it all into just one guy. We all like to do it.
Well, we were talking about the schedule of the Texans, and I looked at 6-10, and that's kind of, I think we both have them going 6-10.
It's the only time I want you looking at 6-10.
But I tried to do a best-case scenario. So what if they won games that were – because there are games like the Indy game on the road now, the Jacksonville game, which I have them losing. So I have them losing both of those. I think that Tennessee game at home, I had them losing, but that's – or no, on the road – but I think that might be a winnable game. But what about a game like And you know, maybe a Baltimore game or something like that. I still think they lose that because
that's
on the
Baltimore,
road.
Baltimore, yeah. I think the divisional games are crapshoots, and I think that they got a legitimate shot because I'm with you. I kind of looked at the schedule the same way you did, and I did.
But they can also lose this Denver game. I have them winning.
I had some swings.
Yeah.
Some swing segments of the schedule, and like I said, the positive was the final four games of the schedule. I see them. I feel pretty confident saying they could run the table and win all four of those.
Okay.
All right. I think that the key home stretch early is that back-to-back Carolina-Atlanta situation where you really got to make sure if you're going to be in this division that you make sure your home field is taken care of too.
It's back-to-back Chargers, Panthers, Falcons, Chiefs.
Yeah, they're not beating the Chargers. Well,
back to
saying.
Back
and they're
to
not
back
going
to
beat
back.
The Chargers and the Chiefs.
And it's bookend on the road, two at home on the road. That's ugly.
So that was another one. And then it all came down to me because everybody plays the same division when you're playing your opponents. So all the rest of the teams in the AFC South have to play the tough teams we're talking about. When you look at it and you weigh it all, that's why the divisional games are going to be so important. And I think that I had them splitting, but I think they can take two from Tennessee. I don't know what Jacksonville is yet, so I'm not comfortable saying that they have a chance to be able to take the series against the Jags. One is in London. That's another X factor. But until I know what Nick Foles is with that team, and if he has enough weapons around him, I know their defense is good. I know their corners are great.
Okay, so what I was saying is I had them 6-10. My best case scenario is 9-7.
That's your ceiling.
Best case scenario.
I think the ceiling for me when I looked at it was the potential for 10, but I don't see them getting there.
Okay. Well.
And I think we're both on the same page. As low as it goes is 6, or could you go lower?
No, I think that they win those 6 games.
I think because of what you said when the trades were initially made. Let's take long-term perspective out of this, the lost draft picks, the situation they may be facing later on.
They're a better football team than they were.
I agree with that. Yeah. But the only concern I have now is, similar to what we were talking about with what happened last night, you're looking at a guy that's not even arguably, the most important member of your offensive line is coming from another team, and he's got to get used to not only, he knows the position he's playing, but he's got to build some kind of chemistry with an entire offensive line.
Sure, because you got to know who to pass off in the blocking schemes. And
exactly, yeah. and learn a whole new playbook and schemes. And that really concerns me with week one, right off the top, playing a defensive line like the Saints.
Yeah.
So as much as we think, well, Deshaun Watson's always had to worry, he's got a security blanket now, but that blanket has holes in it until it can get comfortable and get put in, you know, in the right position to feel like he's a part of the offense. So that's the thing that concerns me again, because you don't have any preseason in training camp anymore. It's for real, and yet you're going to throw him out there because you cut the guy that Bill O'Brien said was going to be the starter in week one.
Yeah, I was trying to look at a team like Jacksonville and compare, because is 9-7, 8-8, if that's their ceiling, is that going to be good enough to win this division? And probably so. I think 9-7 can win this division because I'm looking at Jacksonville's schedule, and if I just count losses just right off the bat, I think they lose to Kansas City. I think they lose to Houston on the road. I think they lose to Carolina and New Orleans. I think they lose to the Chargers and the Falcons. That's 6 right there. And then you got to assume that Jacksonville's not winning all their games in the division either.
Right.
Because the division will probably beat up on each other. So assume that they, out of that, you know, I mentioned that Houston game, but let's just take that away. So that's 5. Let's say they split in the division and they go 3-3.
Right.
That's 8 losses. So Jacksonville, somewhere in the neighborhood of 8-8, probably worse than that, though, because the Jets might be able to beat this Jacksonville team.
But when we look at it, that's why I'm saying whoever wins the South, it's going to be another year. 9-7, and dare I say 8-8, could win the division.
Yeah.
Because it's just not a good, it's not a good division. It's definitely not as good as the NFC North. And at the same time, when you look at the teams top to bottom, there's more question marks than there is solidifying one team or two teams that really have a legitimate shot. Forget the division, too. Can they compete beyond that?
Yeah, well, they're at Oakland at the end of the year. To me right now, I don't know what either of those teams are, so that's kind of a toss-up.
True.
So I have them losing to the for sure, losing to the Chiefs, the Panthers, the Saints, the Chargers, and the Falcons. That's 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then you build it from there. And then, again, if you split the division and maybe you drop one on the road in Oakland, they're 7-9 easily. That's not going to.
And like you said,
done.
Even a game like Denver, the advantage is the altitude, playing on the road, mile high city, and their defense is good. But we don't know what their offense is going to be. Yeah. We don't know if Flacco. And the other thing that people forget is,
I think that the
even if Joe Flacco could still be Joe Flacco, mm-hmm. Joe Flacco's never been an end-all, be-all franchise quarterback. He's just been a serviceable, as we've always said. I mean, he's one of those guys that's a game manager.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting.
Tough year for the AFC South because of the divisions that they're having to face. So
yeah, the schedule is not set up for them to succeed right off the top with a lot of those opponents that you just rattled off. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. Because, I mean, obviously I know Texans fans don't want to put a damper on their high expectations, but you got to be realistic with what that schedule says.
Yeah, and make sure you're realistic when you bet on these teams too. And when you bet, make sure you do that at mybookie.ag. I mean, you want to play with the best. You want to bet with the best, and that's mybookie.ag. And when you bet with them and you win with them, you get paid with them. That's the beauty of it. I had a listener the other day text and say, dude, I absolutely love my bookie because I did get my money back, like you said, when I wanted it. So I had $1,000 in my account that I had won. No problems getting that money out. And that's the key, man. You want to make sure that when you bet, who you bet with is as important as who you bet on. And when you bet with MyBookie and MyBookie.ag, you're going to get your money back, and that is of the utmost importance. Now, they've got odds on all the games. They've got more prop bets than any other sports book, and I mean nobody pays faster. You get your cash when you want it. And did you know this? Did you know you could bet after kickoff? You absolutely can. You can parlay your picks, and you can take a small wager and really make some big profits on it, and you can do that at MyBookie.ag. Don't play with a no-name sports book. Play with the best. Play smart too. Be smart, play smart. And when you sign up, when you go there and sign up, you can double your first deposit up to $1,000 in free money by using promo code RADIO. That's just free money to bet on your favorite teams and win more money and then get that money back through mybookie.ag. It's mybookie.ag, promo code RADIO. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an F Yeah Friday. It's Barry, Nick, Joel, and a plethora of guests and fun in and around the studio. Lance Zierlein, by the way, has been here way too much today. He is all over the place. He's chatty. It must be the downtime for him after scouting and tape breakdown sessions because he's everywhere. He's like manure. He's all over the place.
Oh, my. You didn't need to.
I used Lawn Talk for you. Like if you're manure. Fertilizing during the spring and summer season? No?
No.
Why?
Because you don't fertilize with manure.
In the Midwest, you do.
No. You get a granular fertilizer that's all chemically made. No one fertilizes with manure anymore. You might buy some mulch for your beds that have some manure in it, but
what'd you call it when you were riding? I did some investigative work for you guys last night.
Oh, did you?
What'd you call it when you were someone bummed a ride on your bike when you were a kid here in the Southwest?
Pump. You got pumped.
You got pumped.
Give them a pump. Not punked, pumped. Give them a pump. Hey, can I get a pump home? Yeah. Hop on the pegs, buddy.
What do y'all think about bucked?
That's what you called it in the Midwest?
I asked several people from my childhood days of what we called it. And everybody had the exact same answer. Bucked.
Bucked? It's getting bucked in here.
Can I get a buck? Can I get a buck? Are you bucked? Oh, I bucked with Barry on the way to the game.
I don't know which one sounds worse.
I know. Pumped or bucked.
Both of them have a sexual connotation.
Bucked, but Nick. In the Midwest, I did some investigative work last night.
I'm trying to figure out which one sounds worse.
Bucked was the Midwest term associated with pumped here in the Southwest.
I feel like pumped sounds worse.
Pumped
in this day and age.
Nick pumped me home.
Yeah, see that. I would rather never isolate
rather than Nick bucked me home.
Okay,
Nick bucked me to the game.
They both sound pretty bad.
Nick bucked me to the game, but Barry pumped me home. Now that sounds a lot worse than really what actually happened.
Yeah. You know what? I'll walk.
At that point,
I don't need a bike ride. I'll walk. It sounds awful.
I'm counting my steps because I'm going. Yeah. But at least I found out because I was curious. Yeah. That's the Midwest
equivalent. I would have never guessed that. How come I don't feel like I would have forgotten that either. Like, I remembered pumped. You didn't remember bucked.
Well, because I don't think I gave him any rides.
No?
No.
You were the big kid that had to ride his own bike, right?
I was.
Yeah. See, I was a little scrawny fart, so I had to ride on the handlebars.
Yeah, I probably would have bent him, so.
Probably would have bent him?
It's possible.
Oh, that's,
yeah, I was large and in charge in my earlier childhood, so.
Well, at least you owned it.
Yeah, so we got that. All right, so Astros last night.
Yep.
Boy, I'll tell you what. I was so focused on the football game, I decided to flip over at one point during a commercial going, oh, I forgot. And I saw the home run, the two-run homer that made it 7-0 and went, wow, I'm not coming back to that. Yeah, and then lo and behold, after I got into all the Twitter back and forth and had to like remind all these bear tweeters early in the night, who ends up being boss at the end of the night. And then all of a sudden I saw Ivan or someone go, I got just enough time to flip over and see the Astros go to extra innings. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah. Miley goes, he gets no outs.
None.
Doesn't record an out. He gives up 5 earnings. No strikeouts. It was an awful outing for him. You need Snead and Urquidy and Biagini and these guys to come in and mop up duty, and they gave you 8 innings where they only gave up 3 runs. So really, from a bullpen perspective, you kind of got some help. I mean, if you can get those 3 guys to give you 8 solid and only give up 3 runs,
no doubt.
Now, you know, obviously, if you use like Snead as an opener, that's a good outing. But the fact that Miley was the guy that opened and gave up the 5 runs, it looked kind of hopeless. But the Astros, with that offense, they slowly chipped away at it. I mean, after the top of the second inning, it's 7-0. They get a run in the second, 2 in the third, 2 in the sixth, 3 in the eighth. They just slowly chipped away at it. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of a team like this. With this offense, they're really never out of it. And it reminded me of 2017. These were the kind of games they won in 2017 when it was that magical year.
No doubt about it. And the other thing, when you look at it too, I have to own it. I'm a Josh James guy, and Josh James fell right into place with what all the rest of this bullpen has been doing lately, and that is giving up taters and creating more haters. Because as much as I thought, okay, he got that one out of the way, and this is one where he can just settle in. It's not going to be a high leverage situation. Nope. And then I thought he blew it. Boy, Kyle Tucker. First major league home run. Then he gets a big 2-out, 2-strike hit to tie the game again.
Listen, if you want to gloss over Osuna and Rondon going 2 1/3 scoreless, that's fine. I'll totally allow that to be the case.
Look, we're trying to turn over a new leaf. You said you were done with that, so I refrained. I was going to tweet you at the start of the inning going, oh, Lord, here comes Rondon. I created that last night. Instead of Rondon, I was calling him Rondon. I was going to tweet Barry, oh, here comes Rondon. I didn't. He did well. I hope he turns over a new leaf. I'm done.
I'm happy that Tucker got on the board.
I like it in a lot of ways because the last time he was up last year, he looked overmatched. For as good as he's been all the way through AAA, he looked overmatched. To do what he did the way he did it last night, and then in crunch time, 2 strikes.
Yeah.
Down a run, gets the base hit. I'm like, that was impressive.
Good to see Miles Straw up. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I didn't watch the whole game because, again, actually, I missed some of the Bears-Packers game because I was out mowing the yard.
Oh, boy.
But I did finally manage to catch up on everything. I had recorded the Astros game. So it's a good win. It's a fun win for them, and it's good. Thank God for September call-ups, though.
Oh, no doubt about it.
I mean, really and truly, you think about it, Miles Straw scoring the run.
Yep.
Tucker driving it in.
Snead, the pitchers.
Snead and Urquidy. Yeah, or however the hell
Urquidy.
You say. Urquidy. Good win for the Astros, and thank God that there was someone here, guys that we're not going to see long-term.
Sure.
To take on
that.
Well,
we might see him long-term in the future, but not this year.
This year, yeah.
Yeah. All right, with that being said, hey, we got a new segment to the show, and with that, we have a new expert. We know you suspects like the experts. Steve Fronterhouse is here. He's going to be our travel guy. He is the general manager of the Houstonian Hotel. I've been telling you about how great that place is. But boy, oh boy, we needed a guy that's going to give you a little insight, a little expertise. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Excited to be here.
Yeah, you're gonna. You also bring goodies too. So another sneak preview for later in the show. But every time Steve appears, sometime during that suspect show, we are going to give away $100 at the at one of the fine restaurants on the grounds of the Houstonian for you and your sweetie or date night or whoever to check out the great food there. So thank you for that as well.
Yeah, come join us.
Can I win? Absolutely. Can I win? Can I win?
No, Bear, you cannot.
Oh, man.
So with that being said, Steve, you're a man of travel. Yeah, you're obviously people come to Houston when they're traveling and they settle into the Houstonian Hotel. But you also have tips for people from Houston to kind of catch kind of a sneaky destination that's a great way to get away. You got a tip of a place you've been this summer that might fit right into that.
Well, yeah. My wife and daughter, and I have an 8-year-old daughter, Sarah Jane, and we have fallen in love with the country of Belize, and we go down once or twice a year. Have you guys been to Belize?
I have not.
Okay. Do you know where Belize is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. First country
on Earth.
Right. First country south of Mexico.
Near Mexico, yes.
It's on the Atlantic side. Very small country, probably 250,000 people or so. But it's what's awesome about this country is it's so close to Houston. A lot of people call it South Mexico. I call it South Texas myself because there's so many Texans that travel down to Belize. It's 2 hours from Houston to Belize City. Hop on a puddle jumper out to the island. Boom, you're there. It's an unbelievable country. It's got the second longest reef on the planet Earth. It's almost 190 miles. The reef is in incredible condition, teeming with all types of sea life. My daughter can't even wait to get on the boat. She's the first one in the water, loves to swim with the nurse sharks. And when you go to Belize, you have to stay at the Victoria House. Victoria House is a very small property, only 40, 42 rooms. Staff is unbelievable. The food's fantastic.
And you said the flights are cheap because a lot of people hear Belize and go, oh, I can't afford that.
No. Belize has totally changed over the last 3 or 4 years. Southwest has started running flights down there, and they've cut the airfare in half from United and American. And Belize is an incredibly affordable country to go visit. And like I said, you stay at the Victoria House. One of the things that's awesome about Victoria House, it's owned by two Houstonians, Brown Rice and Abfe, and it's a great place to stay. So go to Belize.
Now, did I hear correctly? You said your daughter swims with sharks?
She does. I mean, she
I don't know if you're going to win tough. Dad of the Year, all right?
She is tough as nails. In fact, she eats toenails for breakfast.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Teach her to tackle, and you got something. That's what I did. With that being said, too, we got a game coming up Monday night. You know the lower 48, so to speak, as well, too. Texans at Saints. Everybody knows Bourbon Street. Everybody knows the casinos. But you might have some tips and things that people don't know if they're Texans traveling to see their team play the Saints Monday night.
Right. If I was going to New Orleans for the game, I always tell my friends and family you want to check in at the Windsor Court Hotel. It's a fantastic hotel, opened back in the 80s. I think it was 84. And a guy named Ralph Mahana is the general manager down here. He's a great guy. The staff's unbelievable. Everybody knows your name. The rooms are spacious. The staff is fantastic, impeccable service. And it really gives you that feel of being in New Orleans from the doorman to the front desk to valet. Everybody is fantastic. The food is great there. When I go to New Orleans, I always go by the Hotel Monteleone. They have a bar in the lobby lounge there called Carousel Bar. Sorry. It's round, revolves. I always tell my friends and family, stop at the Carousel Bar at least once when you go to New Orleans. And when you stop there, make sure it's past 10 p.m. because something wild is always going to happen at the Carousel Bar. Guaranteed.
Now, what's the wildest thing you've seen?
Well, I'm in the business of discretion, and I have friends that run that hotel, too. So we'll have to talk about that off the air.
Oh, no. We want that juice. Did it involve animals?
No.
Oh, wow.
No. Okay. We have had a longhorn steer at the pools over at the Houstonian. Yeah,
really?
Getting it in the front door and out the back is always a problem, but we've got a great team and we manage it.
You're fitting right in, Steve. You are fitting right into the show. That's fantastic. And with that being said, too, because everybody, like I said, we know what everybody travels well if you're a Texans fan. We know all that, but we know that you also have the secrets and you also kind of have the underbelly of the people that kind of get lost on the wayside in the hotel business too. And you and I were talking off the air about the housekeeping service because we've always asked about, you know, everybody worried about the comforter or the pillowcases or everything
like
that.
Sure. So let's talk about the housekeeping department and the fine men and women that work in that department, because what I always tell people, they are some of the hardest workers in a hotel. Let me ask you guys this. How often do you clean your master bedroom and bathroom?
Can I call my wife? I'll call my wife.
A lot.
Okay, yeah. So you think about you think about how much time and effort goes into cleaning that bedroom and that bathroom. Now put yourself in a housekeeper's position, and let me ask you this: how many rooms and bathrooms do you think they clean a day?
Oh, I'm going to say 150.
Well,
each individual. 30.
They clean about 15, 16, 17 rooms.
Well, I don't know. What are you guessing?
That's a good guess.
No answer's a bad answer, Barry.
Yeah, well, those were.
But it takes about 30 minutes to clean a room.
I was going
to
say,
so in an eight-hour shift, they're cleaning the back-breaking work. They're cleaning 15, 16, 17 rooms.
Man, that's crazy.
Day. And what I always tell people is, when you check into a hotel, the way that you can treat the housekeepers with dignity and respect is always to acknowledge them. If you see them in the hallway, make eye contact with them, say hello, shake their hand. Sometimes we write notes. Thank you so much. My room is impeccably clean. And gratuity, everybody loves gratuity. We always tip our housekeepers $5 or $10 per day. And they really are some of the hardest working people, and they're unrecognized largely.
But do they clean the remote? That's the question.
And I was prepared I was prepared for that answer. Go ahead, Barry.
With my OCD and being a germaphobe, I know how gross people are.
Right.
And I know what gross things they do with their hands.
When Barry stays at the Houstonian, we bring in a hazmat team.
That's right. Prior to his arrival. That's right.
But we have a secret weapon for remote controls and the handset on the telephone. And, you know, I'm sure that some of my competitors are listening right now, and I'm just not going to reveal that secret weapon. But I can promise you that our handsets on the telephones and our remote controls are the cleanest in the city of Houston.
Boom.
That's outstanding. Tell everybody why I pumped the whole staycation thing, because I think that just every time I set foot on the grounds of the Houstonian, I'm amazed it's Houston.
Well, so you're right. And what's interesting about it, if you were to throw a dart right to the center of Houston, we're basically right there at the bullseye, slightly north of the Galleria, you know, and slightly south of I-10. And we're on 27 wooded acres right along Buffalo Bayou. And we have trail cams down there that we're watching the wildlife come through. And as you mentioned, we have nature hikes that go through there. And there's a walking, jogging path that goes all the way around the property. But we've got 289 guest rooms, 3 resort pools, an unbelievable fitness center, the best spa in the city. And if you want to check in and feel like you're not in Houston, then you stay at the
Houstonian. And the restaurants are great, too. And speaking of that, we're going to give away a $100 gift card to get into one of those restaurants and go on sample some of the great food. Steve, we appreciate it. You're our travel guy. We're looking forward to visiting with you. And stay tuned. Every time, basically, the Texans are on the road, Steve's going to be in the house to tell you things that you should know, need to know, and are thinking about if you're traveling with the Texans. So we appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
There you go. Steve Fronterhaus, he's our travel guy from the Houstonian. He's also the GM. That's a kind of a bigger, tougher, and more important title, but we appreciate him being part of the Suspects. We're going to be back with a whole lot more, and again, stay tuned, because sometime between now and the end of the show, we're going to give away that dinner for two at the Houstonian, so check that out as well. It's the usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Why did you say it like I was a child? Okay, mics are hot now, you big baby.
Because you just belched.
Burped all I up in not. The microphone.
Nick just
Where's
said
your proof?
Too.
Where's your proof?
No documentation.
You two are conspiring against me to make me look bad.
Or
I burped, for real.
And or make yourself look me. Like the PD.
Oh, yeah, at least you hit the cough button.
You're copying. You're stealing his bit.
I'm doing
this. You're stealing his bit. That's an AJ bit, and you're stealing
That's
it.
Right. No, I don't do it on in the, you know, into the microphone so that everyone listening can hear it. I would
That's
never
disgusting.
Do that. I know.
It's ridiculous. All right, so we continue to roll. By the way, Sarah Barshop going to join us at 3:30, yeah. Beat writer for ESPN that covers the Texans. Got lots of stuff to get down and talk to her about because, like as Barry said, we haven't talked to her since the Clowney trade. Want to talk to her about Tunsil and Stills and the new guys and how they're getting acclimated. So lots to talk about leading up to Monday night in Wallens when they take on the Saints. That'll be a biggie.
By the way, Mark Shell said, dude, that staycation at the Houstonian was amazing. Thanks to ESPN. 975 in Houstonian because he was a winner.
That's awesome.
From, he's already realized.
That's awesome. Right.
Good for Mark Show.
I'll tell you this, though. What is crazy is because I went over there a couple times and I met with Steve and Celise over there. I used to work with her at the Rockets. She's fantastic. But people forget that it's there because the gallery is so busy and so, you know, with skyscrapers and cement and all that stuff. And no matter where you park, when you walk the there's a trail, a couple sets of sidewalks and trails you walk through, it's nothing but lush greens. And literally, he's not kidding. When you go on those hikes and things like that, you can see any bit of nature and you can go jogging safely. It's pretty cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice really facility. Cool place.
Back to the Astros.
Yes.
I'm glad they won, but, mm-hmm. you know, Yankees. They didn't really gain any ground on the Yankees.
Yanks and Dodgers were off last
night. Yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, you get the half game, but they're still, what, 6.45 winning percentage?
Yeah.
They're still behind the Dodgers. They're still behind the Yanks. They still got a little work to do. But I was pleasantly surprised because that's a game this year that they've lost in the past.
I agree with you because when I checked the score and then I flipped back, the first thought running through my mind was exactly what you thought about the Dodgers and the Yankees. And then I started thinking about, well, these are games they're supposed to win. These are games when the Yankees played the series against the M's. They weren't going to get blown out in a game like this. So it really concerned me. And then it made me feel a whole hell of a lot better when I flipped it on and they were in extra innings and then saw them get the win.
Mm-hmm.
But then I start thinking about, okay, well, what's worse? The fact that as good as Grinke was all year, his last two starts have just been average. Or what's worse than that? Miley doesn't get out of the first inning, and he said he felt great. That's not a good thing.
Yeah, that's it's weird. I mean, I guess sometimes you don't have your best stuff, even though you feel good. You just can't locate. I mean, hell, you're an ex-pitcher. Yeah. You know, sometimes you feel physically okay, but you just can't. But dude, pitching is. If you stop and think about it, if you've never been a pitcher, you stop and think about how far you are away from a plate. You're talking about a matter of inches and really less than that when you start talking about release points and rotation and spin and where you hold the ball and the difference between being, you know, a half inch to the left on or right. Or it's amazing to have that little. Those little bitty things making that drastic of a difference on plate coverage.
And you're a numbers guy. And we talk about the newfangled baseball, talking about launch angles and distance and all those things. But everything you just said, add on to that, you're talking about when you're throwing a four-seam or a two-seam fastball. When you're throwing a breaking pitch, there's no way in hell you can calculate from one slider to the next how much it's going to break, how far it's going
to
drop.
And those are things that
it's just, yeah, it's just a crapshoot. Sure, you can have a consistent area.
Yeah.
But there's no way, it's impossible to paint the corners. And that's talking about at the lower ends. When you're professionals and you're expected to do that consistently, sometimes it's a tough deal. But, I mean, I don't know that I'm concerned as much as I am about what's going on with the bullpen. I'm happy they won the game. I think the biggest takeaway for me, aside from winning the game, that made me happy was the fact that Springer was in the dugout jumping around and, you know, and popping around and chest butting people to where I was like,
Did you see that he was wearing Reddick's warm up jacket?
Yeah.
And Reddick was wearing his pants.
The pants thing was a little weird for me.
That's a little creepy.
Because then when they started, when TK and Blummer were talking about Astros after dark,
Blummer?
They're like, I wonder who's got his pants on now.
Well, no, but Blummer, during the broadcast, he goes, well, you know, he goes, uh-oh, I don't know how to phrase this right, but based on what Josh Reddick has done in those pants, it's going to be real hard to get him out of them. He goes, I can't believe I just said that. Sorry, kids. That was great.
Yeah. He had a couple of zingers in the extra innings. But it was a thing where they said that when someone was slumping, they would during batting practice, they would alternate batting practice jerseys and things like
that.
Really? And they're like, no one wanted to wear Altuve's because it fit like a training bra.
Yeah.
But aside from that, the pants took it to a new level.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy.
But I did like, did you stay up long enough?
If we have a bad show.
No. Did you stay up late enough?
Let me finish.
No.
If we have a bad show, I think that you should wear Nick's pants.
Nope.
I'll wear your pants.
Nope. And Nick's wearing your pants?
Yeah, Nick can wear my pants.
No. First of all, Joel is not fitting in my pants.
You're right.
He's a big boy.
You're right. I'd have too much room.
So Joel wears my pants.
No way.
Why?
Because you wear skinny jeans.
I mean, they're stretchy, though.
He's acting like he's going to do it. You know he's a germaphobe. He ain't doing
it. Good point. You know what? I'll have gas that day. Then he won't worry about it.
No, we're not swapping mid-show, you morons. You bring the pants in, and we put them on before the show starts. I'm not switching pants mid-show.
Right, and I'm going to fart in them for 3 hours, and I'm going to just go, here's your pants back.
Yeah. You trust us like that? I don't think so.
No, you got to wash them
first. No, I don't. No, I don't. That's not part of the deal.
All right,
no,
well, here's what we'll do.
No, we're not going to do it. Nick and
we'll
I get to
bring
vote.
Pants, exactly. And then we'll wear them the next day. That way I can go home and wash them, because I know some of y'all's jeans probably have skid marks because you're gross.
Are you not the one that said you don't wash your jeans but once a year?
Once a year. But y'all have skid marks in your jeans.
No, Barry, because we don't
And what do you think could accumulate in a year, sir?
I wear underwear.
A lot more than skid marks.
First of all, I wear underwear. Excuse me. I do too. I would assume that you do too, Nick, but we're not going commando in jeans.
A lot of people do. I bet Fred does. Fred looks like a no underwear guy.
You said that before. That's so funny that you mentioned that.
I bet he does. I bet Fred is sans underwear. Old men do that. I don't know why, but old men are like, yeah.
I'm going to skip this part of dressing up.
Yeah, I don't need to wear underwear. I can't do that. I have to have on underwear.
Yeah, and then their pants rip and they get the double punching bag that slides out and is all over for the world to see.
Yeah, I don't need that either. But I'm just saying, like, I don't know why older men are just like, yeah, I'm just going to put these jeans on, nothing else.
My old man wasn't, my dad didn't do that.
He's out there just, ugh.
But my dad was not afraid to recycle clothes more than one day in a row.
Now, but they'll tell you denim shouldn't be washed every time you wear it.
I'm with you on the jeans thing.
You should wash your jeans. Yep, that's what they say. Ask. Google it. The guy that owns the Gap says you should only wash your jeans.
Harry Hygiene over here, who's worried about everything, only washes his jeans once a year.
It's the annual washing of the jeans on my birthday. That's what I do. On my birthday, it's just like when you spring forward and fall back, what else do you do, Joel? You replace all the batteries in your smoke detectors. When I get another year older, I wash my jeans.
Do you have the same kind of system when you change the filters in your air conditioner?
I just do that randomly. I just go check them periodically. I don't have a date.
I just checked the vents.
Do you?
If you start getting some fuzzies on the vents, it's probably time to switch them out. That's just an honest answer.
You're just letting it get funky in there, and you're like, uh-oh.
And
damn.
I'm hoping I see it for Lisa, because if Lisa sees it, then she's over. Like, have you seen the vents? We could be having all kinds of germs from Taylor's. And I'm like, she's got an immune system. She's going to be fine.
She's fine, babe. Yeah.
That's when I change it. All right, 2 in the books, 1 hour still to go, 60 minutes on the clock. Don't forget, Sarah Barshop joins us in the final hour. And you could win a $100 gift card to get yourself a real nice dinner at the Houstonian. And all you got to do is keep listening to The Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.